Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining me now is Sam Caddy, who's the director and filmmaker of The Citizen, a feature-length film just out about a Lebanese immigrant who wins the U.S. green card lottery and comes to New York City the day before 9/11. Sam Caddy was born and raised in Syria, and has completed 6 short films, documentaries, and promotional films, including Schizophrenia and the award-winning Raised Alone. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sam Caddy.
Thanks for having me.
And Sam, you just recently, a little over a week ago, testified before the International Criminal Court in The Hague and talked about, showed footage and talked about your friend Basil, who was, as you said, neither a terrorist nor a member of Al-Qaeda or an armed gang, but in fact was a Syrian Christian filmmaker who was killed by the regime trying to document what the regime is doing to Syria's own people, to the Syrian citizens.
Absolutely. I mean, I had the privilege to be at The Hague, and I was recognized by Cinema for Peace Foundation for basically raising human rights issues through film, and was invited there and to speak before the ICC. And Basil, as you just mentioned his name, and with like many other artists over there, I feel artists in Syria, if I start in general, their voices have been muted. Mm-hmm. And somebody,
well, all dictatorships, that's the first people they go after is artists,
Exactly.
You know, whether it's Castro or whether it's the Stalin or Hitler or you name it.
Exactly. And I think in the case of Basil, I mean, he's an amazing person who basically dedicated his life to his profession and most importantly to his people. He left his master's degree in film studies in Syracuse University in the United States to go train activists how to document the revolution, to document, the uprising over there. And he ended up, getting murdered and getting killed. And he was shot before he actually had the opportunity to shoot the truth. Mm. On the Syrian ground. And there are many other examples. Definitely Basil, as a filmmaker, I addressed and dedicated my speech at the ICC, for Basil. But there are other examples, like the singer Kashush, who basically who was chanting these songs on the street against the regime, and they ended up basically cutting his throat and threw him, I think, in the river. The cartoonist, the Syrian cartoonist, the very well known cartoonist, Ali Farzad, they broke his fingers. He was beaten by the regime. So many examples of what's going on over there with the artist.
But what all of these people are doing and what you're trying to do is to get the footage out, the information, the truth out about what's going on, because the Assad regime have had very good public relations for 40 years. They bought off a lot of people in the West to suggest that they're actually, and in the case of the son, the accidental leader now, Bashar, that he's a reformer that was out there forever. And now finally people are seeing what this regime's always been about, which is about just this is their own family farm. They control the place, and you better not complain or you die. And that's how they've kept the power. How many people is it going to take to reach the point where the world has had enough?
Well, this is, I think, a great question. I asked this question myself. What's the quota? What's the number that, the international community is waiting for to satisfy their needs, to take an action? And if they feel right now they're applying pressure on the Assad regime, I would like to say that pressure is not enough, because nothing has changed. And actually, the brutality of that regime has increased significantly. And since Kofi Annan actually went there, there are like right now more than like 3,000 people, dead. And just to bring some facts, we're talking right now about over 15,000, Syrian murders. We're talking over 50,000 people missing and over 200,000 people in prison. And you're talking about over 1 million Syrian displaced. This is a disaster. This is a humanitarian crisis. This is beyond description, beyond belief. The slaughtering, the killing, the bomb shelling, and I can go on and on.
Well, but we hear about the dead, and now the official figure is like 12,000. You're saying it's 15,000. In fact, this is what you said to the International Criminal Court. There are more than 15,000 dead, including 4,000 children, more than 100,000 people arrested, another 50,000 missing, and 1 million people displaced. Now, that's not getting much publicity. The gulags, 100,000 people that are in prison, of course, we know they get tortured. I mean,
when you say actually 100,000 people in prison, nobody even know right. if these guys are alive or not.
That's they've just disappeared.
The they basically just... they are in prison. We like they were documented that they went to prison. But what's happening in there? Are they still in prison? Are they still alive? Nobody knows. And right. you're so saying 15,000, 12,000? I will guarantee you, it's right. it's over 20,000.
Well, what's it going to take? I mean, now we have a situation where the Syrians apparently, we know they shot down a Turkish plane. Turkey went before the NATO. They didn't invoke Chapter 5, but in Chapter 4. And now they're going to increase their defenses on the common border they have. There was just a defection the other day of a general and a whole bunch of colonels, 200 mm-hmm. people crossed with him. They're obviously going to set up some kind of safe zone in Turkey.
Okay.
You get the feeling that even though the international community has been impotent, they haven't done anything. They don't know what to do, including the United States. Something has to be done now because the Turks are getting fed up. Everybody's getting fed up with this guy. He won't go. The Russians have even tried to get him to make a deal, and he won't make a deal.
Well, I mean, I think that the Russia and China issue, and we all know, you know, how they thwarted the efforts, you know, by the UN to basically to accuse the and to stop the
right,
Assad regime.
Right, they vetoed them.
Yeah, but what I just said, and I said to the International Criminal Court, the international society have found so many ways in the past to bypass such an obstruction and to move forward with what's right. So this is not the first time that, you know, it will happen. It happened before. And we got to a point where we're urging Russia not to provide the regime over there with helicopters and weapons. And the regime is against intervention. They don't want intervention. They are using the intervention. Everybody's intervening over there. I mean, what's Iran doing? What's Russia's doing? You know, I mean, the Syrian people left alone, unfortunately.
Mm. Well, it's heartbreaking, and you know, I'm always amazed at the courage of people that stand up to oppressive regimes like it started in Tunisia and it spread to Egypt and then it spread to Libya and it spread to Syria. Syria's turned out to be one of the more brutal ones because the regime simply won't tolerate any kind of dissent. Mm-hmm. And to a lesser extent, you see young people, for example, in Mexico, appalled at their government and the control of the media. I know it's nothing on the scale of Syria because the regime doesn't, these other regimes don't wantonly kill their own people.
Well, actually,
but there's something going on. That's what I'm suggesting. There's a youthful revolution going on in the world where young people just are fed up. They want their freedom, they want their future, and they don't want to have these disgusting, corrupt despots dominating their lives and dominating the media with their fatuous promises. I mean, that's what's going on.
Absolutely. And, I mean, look at the massacre that happened at the Al Hola and Al Qureb that was just recently, you know, with more than 200 people. 200 people, these are two massacres that happened while, you know, the observers are there.
Mm-hmm.
These people were not killed by bomb shelling, by the way. These people, they found that they were executed one by one. They were slaughtered one by one.
By the Shabia.
Shabia. And some of them were actually executed by, a bullet to the head, and others were burned alive. And the observers are there. Now, the observers, they are there, but they, you know, they put everything on hold. Mm. So you can imagine what's going on.
Well, tell me about, your colleagues, and one of whom died, they're trying to get the word out. A handful of courageous journalists go in there. There's basically no support for the Assads, except from the Iranians and the Russians and the Chinese. They're ambivalent. Chavez, the Venezuelans, giving them oil. But by and large, they're increasingly isolated. And you went to the International Criminal Court to make this humanitarian appeal. It doesn't seem to be working. That's the part of it that I find extraordinary, that we've seen this before. We saw this in Bosnia. We saw this in Kosovo. People talk about the Holocaust forever. It's big, you know. But here we are witnessing it again. And what does it say about humanity and about our so-called level of civilization on this planet?
Well, honestly, it gets to a point where you start feeling ashamed of being a human being. I am afraid to say that. I mean, just watching and witnessing what's going on over there. And we've seen it, we witnessed it, and we promised ourselves that we're not going to witness another, you know, crimes against humanity to that level, but we are witnessing. And I think the world needs to move and needs to act fast because it's getting out of control. And that's going to affect, you know, the entire region. I'm not a politician myself, but, you know, we can analyze, we can see what's going on. Everything is escalating, at this point. And I demanded, like, from the International Criminal Court to at least condemn strongly and openly and to document what's going on and to put pressure, you know, on the entire, you know, international community.
You're a filmmaker, and I know you're not a politician, and we should have been we should have been talking more about your film. Just in the last minute, tell us about the Citizen. Is it a comedy or a tragedy?
It is a story of an Arab immigrant who wins the U.S. green card lottery and arrives to New York City one day before 9/11. So it stars Khaled Nabawi. He's an Egyptian star, an acclaimed Egyptian star who played in Fair Game with Sean Penn, and he's actually the international voice of the Egyptian Revolution as well. He's a huge activist in the Middle East, and stars Cary Elwes from The Princess Bride, as you know, Bill Atherton from Ghostbusters, Agnes Bruckner from Blood and Chocolate and Murder by Numbers, and Rizwan Manji from Outsourced. It's a great team produced by myself and Chris Wyatt, the producer of Napoleon Dynamite, a great cult comedy, and with a great executive producer, Dr. Amir Kapoor, who without him the movie would never be made, and N3K Pictures that made the movie.
Sure. But tell me though, just from the point of view of the film audience. What your setup sounds like? We gotta wrap it up here. I'm sorry to tell you that we've literally run out of time, but we'll hear more about this.
Absolutely,
and the film will be
no problem. Well, thank you so much for having me here, and looking forward hopefully to see the movie movie out. But it's a drama; it's not a comedy.
I see. That's okay. What I wanted to hear from you. Okay, I've been speaking with Sam Caddy, the director and filmmaker of The Citizen, a feature-length documentary, a feature-length film out about somebody who wins the green card lottery and ends up in New York City the day before 9/11, and he's produced a number of documentaries, promotional films, including Schizophrenia and the award-winning Raised Alone. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
The guy that lived next door in 305 took the kids to the park and disappeared by 9:30.